Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's get to this Cam Newton story. So Cam Newton going to be released by the Carolina Panthers. Adam Schefter, who, breaks all these stories, just tweeted out, Cam Newton had a physical in Atlanta yesterday, coordinated by the Panthers and his agency team per sources. Newton passed the physical and is healthy per source, with both his shoulder and foot checking out well, and he is hungrier than ever and eager to get the next opportunity. So how did we get to this place where Cam Newton is out of a gig? How did we get there? How did we get to where Cam Newton, who of course won the league's MVP and is more than 10 years younger than Tom Brady, is looking for a gig? Kind of interesting, isn't it? I'm going to credit myself, which is, I make mistakes in broadcasting all the time. I have takes and thoughts and opinions that are not shared by everyone in my business or in the sport which I cover. Oftentimes, it comes from somebody else thinking, yeah, I like that, I agree with that, or I don't agree with that, but it's an interesting kind of thoughtful comment, whatever. I told you this was going to happen with Cam Newton going back 5-6 months ago. I want you to keep in mind, whatever your image of Cam Newton is, the reality is, since winning the league MVP, they've won less than 8 games. They finished below 500 4 of the last 5 years. He's been hurt 3 of the last 4 years. And the only team that drafted him that has ever known him, while they've switched ownership and switched coaches and switched some of their front office guys, that team doesn't want him anymore, even though he's only making $19 million this year. The Buffalo Bills and the Washington Redskins, who have both front office people and coaches that coached him before, have not shown any desire to sign Cam Newton. And when all of that happens, then you factor in the litany of injuries. You factor in the style that he plays. And you start to ask yourself, wait a second, if those guys who know him don't want him, why should I want him? Why should I want him? We go back 2 years ago before he had the shoulder surgery, and he was clearly struggling to throw the football. This from a guy who struggled with accuracy throughout his career. Now all of a sudden, anything intermediate or down the field, you had no idea what was coming out. This is a quarterback who's completed less than 60% of his passes all but 3 years playing in the NFL. Three of the decade of service. He's only thrown for 4,000 yards once. He's always been a double-digit interception guy. So he's not accurate, he turns it over, and he doesn't run nearly as much as he used to. And here's the other kicker. He's not wired to be a backup quarterback, and he might not be good enough to be a starting quarterback. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. If you're just below being a starter and you've been a league MVP, why can't you be a backup? Because the job of being a backup is not necessarily about how good you are. There are places where that is valued, where you're like, hey, we need a guy to get up and be ready, to get up and be ready and get after it. Like, all right, that's not necessarily valued. Take a look at the places that need quarterback play, and you can start to understand why it's hard to find him a home. The teams that have reached out and gotten a quarterback from elsewhere so far this offseason, the Chicago Bears, they bring in Nick Foles. Now, has Cam Newton had more sustained success during a season? Yes, he had an MVP season. Foles had a 14-2 year now, let's remember. Foles has had more success in the playoffs. Both have been to a Super Bowl. Foles has won one. But the big difference is, in addition to making less money, it's the relationship he has with head coach he's worked with before, offensive coordinator he's worked before, quarterback coach he's worked before, and the personality of Nick Foles is, if I'm coming off the bench, I'm going to get the starter ready and be ready myself. If I'm the starter, I'm still going to work with the younger guy. That's not who Cam Newton is. Cam Newton said and wants to be a transcendent superstar breaking through any of the bounds of football. That's not what a backup quarterback calls for. If anything, the Cam Newton and Jameis Winston right now both being out of work tell you why it explains that it's more than just the kneeling while Colin Kaepernick was out of work. All these idiots who take to social media when any quarterback gets hurt and goes, well, Kaepernick would work there. No, he won't. Those type of guys, running quarterbacks, shorter shelf life, they always get hurt, they always get injured. Both Kaepernick and Cam, multiple surgeries. They both had arm surgery, they both had surgery on their legs. So you're not as athletic as you used to be in a sport which values your ability to go through your progressions and read and throw from the pocket, and accuracy is key, and they're not accurate guys. They're not versatile guys in terms of how they throw a football. And then you add in that Kaepernick, the one place he might have had a friendly home was Baltimore. His girlfriend screwed that thing up. Now he's been out of football too long. He's not sharp. Now he's slotted way behind all these other guys. But, you know, I saw another tweet from Schefter that said, well, Kyle Allen, who was the undrafted backup quarterback to Cam Newton that became the starter when Cam went out with injury and nearly hung on to the job, yesterday, the Redskins traded for Kyle Allen, a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen. Well, it's more than just whether or not you think Kyle Allen is better than Cam Newton. Kyle Allen makes $580,000. Cam Newton makes $19 million. There's a big difference there. If neither see the field, Kyle Allen doesn't hurt you. Cam Newton does. Cam Newton takes you from getting two or three starters if you're going to pay him that sort of money. And, oh yeah, by the way, Cam Newton not only wants to be a starter, but is not necessarily equipped with helping get the starter ready. That's all that Kyle Allen does. Even to his last moment as starter with the Carolina Panthers, he was wishing and welcoming Cam Newton back to take the job. You've got to be wired. This is why Kobe Bryant struggled at the end of his career. Because Kobe could never, ever be the beta. He could never be the second or the third option. He could never do, frankly, what LeBron has tried to do. It's one of the things that we should actually be impressed with by LeBron, is LeBron knows, like, I don't have it some nights. I need Anthony Davis to carry us, and then I can get it going in the fourth quarter. But Cam is not wired like that. Cam is Allen Iverson. Cam is Carmelo Anthony. Jaw-dropping talent. The type of physical presence that just takes over a room. And when he has it going or had it going, it was incredible. But when you get later in your career and your skills, your athletic skills start to diminish, and you haven't improved upon those accuracy and mental reps that other guys have, and then your kind of ego and image just can't take the idea of not being a starter. And unlike basketball, like at least Carmelo Anthony, and we're going to paint this as some pretty picture of what's happened in Portland. It's not like they've won a bunch of games because they got Carmelo Anthony. He's come in and shown the ability to, once every three games, still put up some buckets. He's fine. But let's not get it twisted. Portland was having a wildly disappointing season, and most of it was based upon when Damian Lillard played well or didn't play well, not Carmelo Anthony. But look, Carmelo's career was cut short, not because of injury. Allen Iverson's career was cut short, not because of injury. And Cam Newton's career threatens to be cut short, not necessarily because of injury. It's just guys, from the time that they're born and they first play their sport, they're the best on the field. And so a lot of the other little things that other guys of lesser physical talent have to learn in order to get by, they don't have to learn. they can just go out and play and react. And if you don't like what you see, run it. You're 6'6", you run like a track star, just run it, run over, run around, run by everybody in your way. And it works until it doesn't. This is the buyer beware with Lamar Jackson, although Lamar appears to have a better work ethic than all of the, you know, in terms of the mental reps and improving his accuracy. This is the fear. This is the fear. But the reality of Cam Newton a couple of years ago, winning the league's MVP, team loses one game. You know, he is like a fashion icon, a huge presence, till now where his ex-coach didn't traded for his backup. He can't get a gig. And then you go and look, and they tried to pawn him off in the Chargers. They were like, no thanks. I told you guys the Chargers weren't interested. They tried the Bears. The Bears like, we'd like Nick Foles better. Better personality, knows our coaches, more accurate. And if he's the backup, he's not a pain in the ass. Whereas if Cam Newton's the backup, he's only sitting there waiting to be a starter. That's not the way it works. Miami needs a quarterback. They don't appear to be interested. Right? So where's he going to go? The Bengals? If they get rid of Andy Dalton, that's a big if. But they're going to draft Joe Burrow, so he's going to be a backup. He's not equipped to be a backup there. The Jacksonville Jaguars? Do they prefer Gardner Minshew making less than $1 million? My answer is probably. It's money. It's ego. It's attitude. It's role acceptance. It's what role you're built for. God bless Cam Newton, because without that level of confidence, almost bordering on arrogance and presence, he wouldn't be who he is. But it also makes it so that he's almost unhireable for anything other than your starter. And it's hard to make him your starter when he hasn't played healthy the last 2 years. And he's only played for one head coach. And that head coach needed a quarterback and didn't trade for him. Reality is setting in. And there's a chance Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, not only aren't starters, might not be on a roster.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This was Tom Brady on fitting into the new offense without OTAs.
The important part is everyone's trying to make it work, and everyone's trying to figure out how to adjust and adapt to some new realities that we're all facing. You know, there's aspects of our offseason that have changed, and I'm sure will change to a degree, but that doesn't stop me from figuring out what I've got to do in my professional life to try to still, you know, learn the things I need to learn and train the way I need to train.
Here's Bruce Arians, Buccaneers head coach, on why the Bucs wanted Brady in free agency.
We looked at everybody that might be available at the quarterback position, really never dreaming that Tom would be available, but if he was going to be our number one choice, mainly because he can make he can do everything we want to do in our offense, but more than that is his leadership ability that we need in our locker room to get her to where we want to go.
That's interesting, because though I would never question Tom Brady's leadership, it doesn't actually say that Tampa Bay has the culture. And maybe Brady can bring the winning culture. But you would think that the coach would say he's going to be the leader for what already is a good culture. Wasn't what he said. Granted, Bruce has only been there for a year. Bruce is not a truly hands-on, always involved sort of guy, but his read on it is we need some leadership in it. Now, is that a little bit of a shot at Jameis? Sure. Although Jameis supposedly is a very good leader. Again, this is what the media, other media types will tell us. But I think it's super interesting, the idea that Brady is going to bring culture and leadership with him when he's a quarterback. You know, he's new to the team. It's really, really hard. And no matter how well respected you are, to come in and, you know, in a couple of short months, especially when you have a shortened offseason, get things up and running and do it your way, when his way is not the Patriot way. And it's going to be now him going to OTAs or having workouts when the last couple of years he skipped OTAs. I actually understand why he would be more invested, not just because he has to learn new offense, but because you get energized by something new. You just do. You go to a new company and the optional stuff that you always do, because not only do you want to look good for your new company, but you are kind of energized over seeing how somebody else does it. But I have my doubts that, one, I don't know if he can still make every throw. I don't know if anybody actually knows that. Maybe the Buccaneers think that. Do I think he's healthier than Philip Rivers? Yeah. And Brady used to make every throw deep down the field. He just hasn't in a long time. And then the question becomes, you know, is there early season struggles? Now, when they were in New England and they would have a stinker early on, they would say, well, you know, we use September as our extended training camp. But when you're Tampa and you're not used to any sort of pressure to win, it's a little bit like Cleveland last year. The hunter as opposed to the hunted, very, very different. How do they handle it? Again, I'm not sitting here saying it's a disaster, it won't work, but there are plenty of reasons why it's going to be harder than just, you know, the old fantasy football idea of taking a guy and putting him on a roster and all of a sudden everybody blows up.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's bring in Brock Heward, who joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports College and NFL analyst. Cam Newton currently without a gig. They couldn't find a trade partner, released by the Carolina Panthers. What's your reaction?
Yeah, not surprised they could not find a trade partner. I think in this climate, Doug, when you're a guy that's coming off significant injury, we've seen this here in our market in Seattle with Jadeveon Clowney, coming off of injury and surgery and everything else, and the inability to go fly around and maybe ease people's fears or take further physicals and get all that information just kind of in this time. Not surprised someone that was going to make $20 million or so did not get traded for and picked up and instead is now a free agent on the outside looking in. And I'll tell you this, if I'm Cam, and I know he tweeted this last week at the end of the week, and Greg Olson kind of added on to it and responded to some of their frustration with how Carolina has handled this and kind of the goodbye and the abrupt goodbye, I'd be even further frustrated that it took this long. And instead of having the opportunity to have a little QB roulette when there were a lot of slots still open and available, well, most of those doors have now closed. Not all of them, and certainly the one in your locale has been rumored and probably makes the most sense with the Chargers. But sure, a lot of doors have closed. A lot of opportunity has gone by. And Carolina waiting to the point they did to actually make this transaction certainly did not help his market value.
Well, there's a couple things. The rumors of the Chargers' interest was as greatly exaggerated as anything. Like, people were just like, well, they need a quarterback. Cam's right. A quarterback. Why not, right? Like, they have Tyrod Taylor, who is healthier, knows the system, has played under Anthony Lynn before, and costs far less money. And they're going to draft a quarterback because they couldn't get Tom Brady. They have no desire to have Cam Newton. I think that's – do I hear you on the physical thing? Sure. You tell me the team that preferred him to the – like the Bears thing makes sense with Foles. He's yeah. played for those guys before, right? And – Foles is wired to where if he's not the starter, he's the world's greatest backup.
Yep.
We have no idea if Cam has no desire to be a backup. He's never been a backup. He ain't about being a backup. And you, being a former backup quarterback, know the skill set to be a backup quarterback is different than just can you play the position? Can you play the position while getting the other guy ready? That's your sole purpose during the week, isn't it?
Yes, I will also say, like, if I'm a team out there, you're going to get the very best Cam Newton you're ever going to get. You know, depending on what this deal looks like, depending on where he lands, depending on what he ends up doing, if he just signs a one-year deal, a prove-it deal somewhere or something of that nature, you're going to get a highly motivated guy that wants his further generational money. He's made a lot of money. He was a first-round pick. He got, obviously, an extension. He's made tens of millions of dollars. So, you know, he's made a lot of income. He was also, I am sure, counting on one more enormous generational payoff. And I am sure in his mind, whether he will admit it or not, this has been a big fat slice of humble pie that has been served his way.
Yep.
And he's got to go out and prove and earn once again and put that chip right back on his shoulder of going out and actually earning that next big contract that I am sure as a competitor, he believes he's more than worthy to go out and get after it.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Can he still play? He hadn't, he 2 years ago had the shoulder thing, wasn't throwing the ball well at the end of the year, and this year he only played two games. He's had some, you know, he's not running as much as he used to. Can he still be a starter and a good one?
I would take a flyer on him at the right number for everything I just said from a motivational standpoint. What is a good number? I think where we're sitting right now with the market and how much teams have spent, it's going to be a favorable number to the team. What did Mariota get? About $8 million or so?
Yes, $7.5 million.
Kind of a 2-year, $17 million deal. Is there that deal out there? Would he even want that? Would he want just a 1-year kind of prove it deal to say, no, come on, sign me. So I mean, I'll go compete with anybody. Just give me a legitimate shot to go out and compete. Give me a legitimate shot to go out and run. Give me a legitimate shot to go out and earn this next kind of mega deal. I would take a flyer on a situation like that. By no means would I be comfortable making him my franchise guy, locking him in for years with, you know, multi-million-dollar guarantees. But would I take a flyer on that guy as a competitor? Doug, I think I would, and I'll be very curious what this market ends up paying him.
What are your thoughts on Brady's transition to Tampa? I know that what people say is quarterback whisperer, great wide receivers, good tight ends, a great quarterback. What doesn't work about it? You know, good weather and two domes in division on the road.
Yep.
But it's also a completely different style. You're not going to get the same time in off season. And yep. Oh yeah, by the way, Bruce Arians likes to throw the ball deep down the field. Tom Brady has been everything underneath for the last decade or so.
Yes.
As a quarterback and a guy who sees it at a higher level than most anybody I know, do you believe it works?
Yeah, I think it does have a chance to work. Everything that you just said is why. I think some of that heat and humidity. I think the lack of some of that workload, right? I mean, we all look at that, and he is a grinder, and he puts in all of the individual work. I think one of the things that has sustained these guys at that position to play into their 30s, into their young 40s, is you don't have six-week training camps. You don't have two-a-days in pads. You don't have throw after throw after throw after throw on the arm. So, you know, your mileage in those things lasts and endures a little bit longer. Playing in some of those road environments in those domes helps. This to me, though, Doug, comes down, and you don't hear this said a lot, but I remember hearing this so vividly and watching it from Warren Moon. When I was at the University of Washington in the mid-90s, in late 90s, my last year, I went over and got to do this media deal with Warren Moon, who'd signed back with the Seahawks. This would have been the, 98 season. And I remember going over there and watching him throw. I'm like, my gosh, man, this guy is just, he throws one of the most beautiful balls you're going to ever see. Every ball is a tight spiral, and he just throws it so beautifully. And I remember talking to him like, man, how long can you do this? He's like, my arm could do this forever. It's my legs. It is all about my legs. And you've watched Tom over the years, and I can just picture, can't you, John Gruden in the Monday night booth just doing his little bounce. Like, you know, it's all about bounce and flexibility and all the jokes and all the fun that Gruden griefy got for that, you know, in reference to Tom. But it is all about his movement and his legs. I think his arm can absolutely still throw it 65, 75 yards, right? I think he, you know, in that heat and humidity, especially, it's going to be easy to get loose, and he's going to feel great year round and not have to endure some of the cold and the wind and the rain and everything else that limits it. That ball is going to carry just fine. But this will all be about his movement and legs. And that, to me, over the last couple years was pretty vivid. Like, you could see that decline. You could see how hard it got for him to even extend those plays. Not that he ever extended them outside the tackles, Doug, anyway, but just those plays, those subtle moves, just subtle quickness, a subtle twitch within that pocket. To me, the legs are the biggest question. Do I think he could do it for a year? Yeah. Do I think he's going to learn that system fine? Absolutely. Do I think he can put those receivers in a position to shine and take care of the football and throw it away when it needs to be thrown away? Yes, yes, and yes on all of those. This will simply come down to his legs of whether or not he can do it for more than just this one season.
Brock, you are joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. You mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. The lack of top-end interest in him, how much of it is due to coming off the surgery and the inability to examine him? How much of it is that it all depends on what tape you watch, which Jadeveon Clowney you're going to get?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, Doug, because I watched him close here, right? We were still doing our radio show daily and still super invested in the Seahawks and on a D-line that was bad. I mean, bad. One of the worst. If you took him out of it, man, that was one of the worst defensive lines in the league. He still did enough. He's double-teamed more than anybody else. He still wrecked games. He played the run game. Right. To me, it's like a corner that tackles. I don't want just a corner that can cover. Right.
Right.
That's where Richard Sherman was so elite here in Seattle. And still, even with the 49ers was he was just willing to tackle, come up there and finish and be physical. I don't want a DN that just gets 10 sacks, but looks out for himself and doesn't play the run. Clowney is the inverse. He's almost a better run edge player than he is. And certainly the sack numbers speak to that than he is just to get home and get you double digit sacks because he's never done that. So that's why he's on the market. He's on the market because he has a knee that's concerning. He's on the market because he had core surgery. He's on the market because his elbow got dinged up. He's on the market because he's never put out that 40 home run season. He's hit 25, he's hit 30, but he's not hit 40 or 50. But I, for one, think the Seahawks have to have him. They've played it well. They've played the patient game. They knew what the market would be. But, you know, when push comes to shove, they don't compete, in my opinion, next year in the NFC West at all unless that guy is back. And now he's going to be back at a much more favorable number, it looks like.
Are you a buyer into what Arizona's doing, adding another Yes. offensive weapon?
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be scary with what they're going to do offensively. I mean, Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald and their young receivers, and this is a draft that is loaded with dynamic dudes through the fourth round. I still think that offensive line is problematic, and I know that they had some hopes maybe to land a free agent or two there that could make a difference. So to me, in this league still, even though that system mitigates it to a degree, they were at the best when they ran the ball at the end of the year. They had a little bit of balance. So I think in the draft, they've got to go that way. They've got to land one of these top end, you know, difference maker tackles, which they may have a chance to do and continue to build around a QB to me that put together a pretty darn good rookie season.
We saw some video on social media of Tua looking like he's moving fine, right? Looking like, are you a buyer into Tua in the NFL?
I am, Doug, and you know that was Trent working him out, right? So he's working out with Dilfer there in Nashville, and I'll tell you, Trent's one of those guys that is a positive guy with most people, right? He's going to be an encourager. He's a developer. He loves now coaching high school, and his Elite 11 has been such a passion of his, and he will speak highly of a lot of guys. But I don't know if I've heard Trent Dilfer over the last 4 or 5 years, and you can tell me if you think differently, and you've had him a bunch on your show, and he's a friend of yours as well. I don't know if I've heard Trent just brag on someone and promote someone and just love on someone the way he has Tua from the day he met him in Elite 11. He thinks the world of him. He is over the moon for that kid as a player, as a person, as an arm talent, as a guy that can deliver the ball accurately with anticipation. And, you know, because Trent doesn't do that for 100 guys, and certainly I've not really even heard him give that much favor really to anybody quite like he has for Tua before he's even training him here this offseason, that resonates with me. Certainly what he did his true freshman year on the biggest of stage and the biggest of moments to deliver a national championship, that resonates even further. So yeah, I would think I if I had a top five pick, I'd be willing, and I feel good about those medicals, I would absolutely be willing to make that move, Tua.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That is the voice of the one and only left-handed quarterback himself, right? I mean, who knows about lefty quarterbacks like you do? Okay.
Go ahead. In the league, Doug, okay? Huh? There wasn't one last year. There was not one.
Last left-handed touchdown pass was thrown by Dez Bryant.
Yeah, see, our lefties, we're a funny breed, man. We think in our right mind, which has led to a lot of bullpen relievers and a lot of pitchers over the last couple decades. You know, too quirky, too analytical, but we got to get the lefties back in the game, and Tua, I think, will certainly help.
How much will losing Travis Frederick set Dak back?
Well, he's had to live with that already, right? I mean, he's had to mitigate that situation. That's a bummer. That to me is even bigger than Dak. That's the Cowboys. That's the NFL. That's just a guy you want playing, right? That's a guy that, and I totally understand it. And I don't ever rip these guys for walking away from the game at all, man. That is their prerogative. In this day and age, you're able to make a lot of money. And if you take care of it and are smart with it, it can be generational money, even on a first and certainly a second extension. So by no way am I bagging on him saying, oh gosh, but for the league, it's kind of like Chris Peterson in college football. I don't want Chris Peterson to leave college football, man. I want him, you know, coaching into his 70s because he's a difference maker. I want Travis Frederick. That guy, I mean, just loves ball. He just loves to play. He loves being in the mix. You just see, you know, he loves it. And I want those guys to keep on playing and further fuel the love for football. So I think you can mitigate a center. I think they've already done that. I think, you know, they will find that replacement. They will move on. But just for the bigger game of football, it's a bummer to see guys of his ilk who just love to play shut it down before the age of 30.
Are you a Justin Herbert guy?
I'm a Justin Herbert guy in the late first round. I just saw Joel Klatt came out with his top 50 prospects. I don't know if you saw that list. I think he tweeted it this morning. And I think Joel had him at about 26 of his overall prospects. And I think that that's about where I would land on it as well. I've seen Justin a bunch over the last few years. I saw him on two occasions in person this season. In one game, really struggle against Cal, and the next game against Colorado with the help of teammates and everybody else, just blow him out. I saw a Rose Bowl where he put that team on his shoulders and really, with his legs, helped win that thing and was the MVP and came back, Doug, and wrote the chapter the way he wanted to write it. He came back to finish it, to be a Rose Bowl winner and a Pac-12 champ and to be an MVP of that Rose Bowl. And for that, he deserves a ton of merit, and I love that, and why I'd probably put him in a really deep draft overall with positions, not necessarily quarterbacks. You know, I think I would still put him at the end of that first round.
But you didn't have him at the top of the first round, which is really...
I wouldn't take him number five. If it's 1-2 and you're the Dolphins, I don't think I could take him number five there.
What's missing?
Anticipation and accuracy. Anticipation and accuracy. Those are the two biggest traits in the NFL. I know everybody gets enamored with the ability to run and create, which you need to be able to do. He is a good-looking athlete, man. He is a great kid. He is smart as heck. He's going to accomplish many, many things. But just purely anticipation and accuracy, are those things off the charts? Can I lay my head on the pillow if I'm a GM and go, yep, those two. We'll work with everything else. But he's got anticipation and accuracy. The top two guys have that. They have it in spades. And I think I'd be willing to draft him there accordingly. But to me, and Jacob Eason and Jacob Fromm and the rest of the guys, and Justin Love even, who's getting a lot of love, to me, those guys with those two boxes are a ways away from Burrow and Tua.
Awesome stuff. Brock, thanks so much for joining us. Hope everybody is safe and healthy up there in the state of Washington, where you call home. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
You as well, Dougie. Take care, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Albert Breer's got to join us right now. Let's get to him from themmqb.com. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, you go back to when ownership changed. And then when we saw a coaching change in Carolina, I said not only do I think Cam Newton's not going to be the quarterback in Carolina, it's really hard to find him another home. Add into the fact that the Redskins trade for a quarterback on their staff not named Cam Newton. If the Redskins and the Bills, who have former Panthers coaches, and the Carolina Panthers all don't want Cam Newton to be their starter, who in the league does?
I don't know. It's going to be tough for him, Doug, especially the circumstances, given what they are. And I know, you know, he's going to, you know, have his medical information sent to teams if they need it and everything else. But, you know, given the amount of, like, injuries he's had, the pounding he's taken, the right shoulder, the left foot, I think if you're going to be comfortable bringing in the guy to maybe be your starting quarterback, then you're going to want to have your team doctor get his hands on him. And that's not going to happen in the foreseeable future for any team because of the circumstances we're all in this country. And then, you know, the next level of it is you ask yourself, could you bring him in to compete for a starting job? Could you bring him in to be a backup for now, the way like Ryan Tannehill was in Tennessee last year? And that's where it gets complicated because we've never really seen him in that role. You know, he was a blue chip recruit coming out of high school. He was the man at junior college. He was the man at Auburn. He's a day one starter in the NFL. He's always had this sort of larger than life persona. So how does that work if he's the 20th or the 25th guy on your roster? You know, I think it's sort of similar to an issue, you know, Jay Cutler ran into, where, you know, I don't know the teams were willing to bring in him as a backup because he'd only been a starter in the NFL. And so that's the part of it that I think is difficult is, all right, like, you know, is he potentially a franchise quarterback? Maybe he can still be that. But without, you know, a full physical, it's really hard for teams to bring him in as that. And then you get to the next level of it, and then you got a whole new set of questions you're asking yourself. And so he's in a really tough spot. And I think the only way for him really to find a home right now is to maybe accept the fact that, you know, maybe he doesn't come in as a starting quarterback somewhere, or, you know, he goes somewhere and takes a lot less money than he's used to make.
But that's the whole thing is, like, you know this, the backup's job is to be ready, but also to get the starter ready, and that's just not who he is.
And that's hard. I mean, that's the hard part about it, Doug, is, you know, in a lot of buildings, the backup, I mean, like, look at Cam himself, who his backup was for all those years. It was Derek Anderson. And is Derek Anderson, was Derek Anderson, you know, going to come in and light the world on fire if Cam got hurt? No. But he was a fantastic resource for Cam, and I think Cam would tell you that. And, you know, a lot of that meant, you know, doing the dirty work, you know, and you know, behind the scenes and being willing to subjugate your ego. And, you know, that's a serious question, you know, is what is Cam willing to do to put himself on a team in 2020? And, you know, if you're one of these coaches whose job might be on the line, you know, like, let's take the Chargers, for example. Now, if they don't have a good year, there could be jobs on the line there. Are you willing to inject Cam Newton into your building, not knowing what he's going to be physically and not knowing how he's going to fit into the framework of your team? If he's not the starter, those are big questions to ask. And I think it just makes it difficult on other teams to really see where, see where he would fit in. And look, like, this comes back to that whole thing. Is he one of the best 25 quarterbacks on the planet right now? Yeah, I think he probably is. But, you know, that's not the question that a lot of these teams are asking.
Howard Brier, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What about Jameis Winston?
Yeah, Jameis is like, you know, I think Jameis would have liked to go to the Raiders. And the interesting thing about that is if you look at what the Raiders did in bringing in Marcus Mariota, that would have been sort of an ideal situation where, you know, you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, like, I'm going in here and there is a starting quarterback in place, but if that guy stumbles a little bit, maybe I'm in position. And in the meantime, I'm going to be coached really well, right? Like, so that's what Marcus Mariota has now. I think ideally that's what Jameis would have had. So I think right now Jameis has probably got to, you know, sort of recalibrate his expectations a little bit. And I think it would be great for him to go to a place where he could kind of quietly develop, you know. And so I look at a place like, you know, if Pittsburgh would have him, I think that would be great for him. You know, maybe somewhere like a Detroit where the starting quarterback in place has had some injury history. You know, just going to a place where there is some stability or maybe there is some opportunity where he's not going to be the starter right away, I think makes sense. And that's why, you know, again, like, if you're him, you're probably looking at it, you're saying, okay, am I going to prioritize going to a environment where I know I'm going to get the development? That would be Pittsburgh. Or am I going to go to a place where I think the quarterback, you know, could wind up, you know, because he has some injury history, could get hurt. There could be some opportunity there. That would be Detroit. So, you know, I think that's sort of how you recalibrate your expectations if you're him and you start to maybe come up with a list of priorities. And, you know, really whatever you do in 2020 is probably more than anything else trying to reestablish yourself as a valuable NFL commodity and looking more towards 2021 and beyond.
Albert Breer, MMQB.com, joins us. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. There's some video out there, Trent Dilfer working with Tua, and Tua appears to be moving really, really well. Before this, it was all just reports and whatnot. What are you hearing about Tua's draft stock?
I think everything's gone well. You know, it's just as far as his return from the hip, and like, there haven't been any major setbacks. That's all great news, right? You know, a couple things that are problematic still. One, my understanding is just from a timeline perspective, they're not going to be completely out of the woods on the potential for AVN, which is the condition that Bo Jackson had,
yep,
until you get past the draft. And the chances of that happening are minimal, but they're still going to linger for a little while. So that if you're a team drafting him, you're going to kind of, you know, have to be comfortable with that. Number two, it isn't just the hip. The guy had two ankle surgeries. He got hurt in high school a bunch. Like, so there's a serious durability question. And I know, Doug, most people are going to look at this and say to themselves, well, you know, he's been able to fight through some of that stuff. Well, you know, if you want to look at track record of quarterbacks coming into the NFL, almost uniformly, guys who had major injuries in college over the last decade got hurt again in the pros when you're talking about the first rounders, right? Sam Bradford in 11, Jake Locker Sam Bradford in 10, Jake Locker in 11, Robert Griffin in 12, Marcus Mariota in 15, Carson Wentz in 16, Deshaun Watson in 17. All those guys had major injuries in college. All those guys got hurt again in the pros. And so that's the other piece of it, is that it's not just one injury, it's a history of injuries. And usually guys, you know, at the quarterback position who have injury history coming into the pros don't suddenly stay healthy when they get there.
Albert, you're one of your main pieces is how the Tom Brady from New England to Tampa came together. I guess my only question for Tampa, well, there's a couple. One is Bruce Arians likes to challenge people down the football field. Tom Brady for the last decade or even more, that's not how, since he hasn't had Randy Moss,
yeah,
he hasn't been a big deep ball guy. Do those two styles find a way to mesh?
It's definitely a little bit of a funny fit, and there's a couple reasons why. It's the deep ball thing, like you mentioned. The other thing is Bruce Arians' quarterbacks tend to take a pounding because they're taking seven steps.
They got to hold the ball. To throw the ball longer, you got to hold the ball longer.
Right, right. And that's why he's always had these guys who are built like Clydesdales. You know, like, you look at it, like, right down the line, Jameis Winston, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer, all these big, sturdy guys. And Brady's been durable, but he's also 43. And so, you know, I think, and having talked to a bunch of Bucs people over the weekend, sort of where they came to a comfort level was they're going to go through Bruce's offense and they're going to just sort of, okay, Tom likes this, Tom doesn't like that. Tom, what do you like that's outside of what we've talked about? Okay, we have this here, or we'll make an adjustment there. And so I think that was one of the things that really appealed to Tom, is that, you know, the idea, like, we're going to collaborate on this and we're going to make what Bruce has in his offense work for me, which is, I think, going to be really, really interesting. And I know in particular, one of the things that they've sort of sold him on was, you know, last year you were really hurt by the fact that your guys weren't getting open fast enough. Well, here we have a lot of speed. And so, you know, one of the things I know in particular that was sort of highlighted when they were talking was it was showing, like, okay, you got Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, these guys who are used to hooking up in zones, right? Like, so you throw, like, the 7-yard hitch. Well, what if we throw that, but it's Chris Godwin on a slant, and he's running full speed, and now you got a 60-yard touchdown. So I think what they're trying to do, and that's just an example, but, like, what they're trying to do is blend both. And I think for Bruce, for Byron Leftwich, and for Tom Moore, and for Clyde Christensen, that's something that invigorates them, because those most of those guys had history, three of the four had history with Peyton Manning, so they were in that sort of environment for a lot of years. And for Tom, I think the idea of having some ownership of what they're going to do offensively, I think that really appeals to him, because really for the last 20 years, it hasn't been like that for him. He's been coached. Now I think he's going to be going into something that's a little bit more of a partnership.
Did New England legitimately have a chance at either of the two wide receivers traded?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, I think they knew too much. I would say that. Like, I just, if you want to look at why DeAndre Hopkins was traded, a lot of friction between Hopkins and O'Brien. And, like, really, as much as anything, it was about practice habits, and it was about kind of, you know, the way he was Monday through Saturday, not obviously who he was on Sunday. And that was okay while he was on his existing contract, but he wanted a brand new contract. And I'm not talking about an extension. He wanted them to rip up the contract. And so that for the Texans was a bridge too far, and that the idea, like, okay, like, now we're going to reward a guy who's sort of representing some of the things that we don't want here. And so, you know, the beginning of the relationship between the Patriots and the Texans and all the people that have worked at both places, a lot of that information got back to the Patriots, which, you know, in conjunction with his contract demands, made DeAndre Hopkins a non-starter for the Patriots. As for Stephon Diggs, you know, I would just tell you that they had interest. They've been in touch with the Bills about that. Once they decided to franchise Joe Tooney, their all-pro guard, their cap space basically evaporated, would have made it really difficult to keep somebody like Diggs. And then later that day, it sort of became clear they were losing Brady. And so that made 2020 a little bit more of a retooling year than maybe it would have been if Brady had been back.
Okay, so when we – obviously they're in a bit of cap hell. They haven't been able to add much in terms of wide receiving help. But they're still a team that won 12 games last year.
Yeah.
How do we what should the reasonable expectations of the Patriots be, or what are their expectations this year?
It's going to be a retooling year, and I think it's going to be a year where they're going to try to be competitive, no doubt about it. But they've got a lot of, you know, that cap issue. They're going to, I think, try to clear their financials this year, and so it's going to mean trying to get younger in a lot of spots, which, you know, they were the oldest team in the league last year. It's going to mean, you know, eating a lot of the dead money and not mortgaging it forward, which is something they've done the last few years, which put them in this situation to begin with. You know, and I know, you know, obviously one of the big questions is what they're going to do at quarterback. Well, at quarterback, what this means is I think they try to, over time, and this is probably may take a year or two, create the sort of advantage a lot of teams, you know, have had with, you know, with quarterbacks on rookie contracts. You know, that the Rams and the Eagles and the Chiefs, they rode that advantage to Super Bowl titles. And so, to me, it's, you know, it's Jared Stidham, it's Brian Hoyer. If there's another cheap veteran available, I could see them doing that. I know they inquired about Kyle Allen, the Redskins' new quarterback who was traded from Carolina, and then maybe draft someone. So I think that that's sort of the plan now, is to be as competitive as you can be, clear the books for 2020 with an eye on, again, being in a better position to build for the future going into 2021.
Last thing, any thoughts on what happens with Dak as of now, franchise tag, but then he lost Travis Frederick going back to yesterday?
Yeah, Dak's going to be a Cowboy. You know, I think one of the things the Cowboys have to sort of accept now that's tough is he's not going to take a discount. And, you know, quite frankly, Doug, he shouldn't. I mean, like, the way it works in the NFL is, you know, the closer you get to the end of your contract, generally, the less willing you are to take less. Because if a team pays you early, then you're basically handing the injury risk over to them. And so, you know, they're going to ask for something back. But once you've taken all the injury risk on yourself, which Dak has taken on the 4 years of injury risk, now it's on the team to take care of you. And so that's sort of where Dak's at philosophically. And the Cowboys have to be awfully careful here about waiting too long to get this done, because I'm just telling you, if Patrick Mahomes gets done, the market's going to change for everybody. And there are lots of teams, the Texans with Deshaun Watson or another one, that are sitting there right now looking at it and saying, if we don't get our quarterback done now and Mahomes gets done at, say, $40, $42 million a year, we could be looking at a totally different landscape as far as paying somebody at that position.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Albert Breer. Albert, great stuff. You're doing incredible work, especially in these conditions. Keep pumping out that stuff at mmqb.com. We'll keep reading it and pumping it on radio.
All right, thanks, Doug. I appreciate it.
Pleasure is all ours. Albert Breer joins us in the Discover Card Guest Hotline. Discover matches all the cash back you can earn at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.